To get us started here tonight, I want to go back a few weeks, because tonight started in a staff meeting a couple months ago, and we started thinking about Advent and the themes of Advent: peace, hope, joy, and love. And we thought, well, this is great. These really are kind of the key elements of Christmas, aren't they? But we also knew something else, that not everyone in this room tonight would be experiencing all of those things. And it's to you that we turn. In fact, probably none of us are experiencing these things in their maximum capacity. And while it's already been mentioned, some of the things that we've talked about in the last 4 weeks, I just want to have a quick recap. We started off on December 1st in Advent talking about hope. And some of the things that steal our hope, and maybe they're stealing your hope tonight: health issues, maybe you've had some disappointments this year, a sense of powerlessness, maybe you've been rejected by people who are close to you, people you care about. Maybe tonight you feel isolated, and you've lost that sense of hope. The next week, we looked at peace. And here are some things that may take our peace: the economy, politics, maybe your party's not in power right now, that could steal your peace, unexpected bills that have come up, maybe you're facing a possible pink slip in the new year, conflict in your family, with a friend, with a spouse, all of that can erode our peace. The next Sunday, we looked at joy and some of the things that can take away our joy: a sense of guilt, anxiety, self-pity, unforgiveness, busyness. All of these eat away at our joy. And maybe tonight, you can look at one of those and go, that's where my joy is gone. It's in my anxiety. It's in my unforgiveness. And finally, just 2 days ago, we looked at love. We said some of the things that can suck away our love is selfishness, greed, our laziness. Love requires serving. We can just get lazy. Pride, self-righteousness. All of these things together can eat away at what Christmas is to be tonight. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And we realize that for some of us, Christmas is cluttered right now. It's cluttered with a lot of things we don't really want to be part of Christmas. And I'm here to tell you that I want to help. We want to help. And you know what? I believe God wants to help all of us tonight to unclutter our Christmas. And if you'll just indulge me in the next few minutes, I hope that God will speak to you about how to unclutter your Christmas. You might be here in body. You might have gotten all dressed up. Food's all ready, I hope. Maybe not. Some of you have presents under the tree. It all looks great. You got family around you. But inside, you know your Christmas is cluttered. And I'm hoping to help with that. And here's what, if you remember one thing, just one thing from Christmas Eve 2019, this is it. Are you ready? It's just three words. Hope declutters Christmas. Hope declutters Christmas. I just want you to keep that in mind. We're going to look at the different elements of Advent, and just to see what has to be said about each one of those. We start with joy. We're going to start with joy tonight. And of course, joy is part of the Christmas story. We already read part of this. I'll read it again. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among the shepherds, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, as angels often do, because we get terrified. Don't be afraid, the angel said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Notice what it says. Christmas is to bring great joy to all people. How is that possible? That the coming of the Messiah, God in the flesh, how would that possibly bring joy to all people? Definition of joy is an emotion acquired by the acquisition of something wonderful. Something wonderful. What was the wonderful thing that was acquired Christmas morning? Do you know? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. The thing that was acquired was an answer to one of the questions that you and I often have on our minds, that all of human beings often have on their minds, which is this: are we alone in the universe? Are we alone in the universe? Christmas morning was an answer to that question, an astounding, no, we are not alone in the universe. In fact, there is a God who cares about us. This brought about great joy. This was the acquisition of something wonderful. Finally, evidence that there is a God. Amazing. We are not alone. This provides purpose in our lives, meaning for life. No more are we just an accident of biology. Suddenly, we have purpose. There is great joy. We are not alone. Christmas brings joy. Let's turn our attention now to peace. And this is a theme that we're going to be looking at in the new year as we get into a series called Overcoming Anxiety. And I'd encourage all of you to join us for that starting in the new year. In the passage that we just looked at with this angel talking, well, he happened to bring a backup band that night. And they sang what is now a 2,000-year-old top 40 hit. They sang this: glory to God in the highest heaven and peace. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, for many, peace is the cessation of war. That's it. That's peace. But that is such a narrow definition. My good friends down at Google have a different definition. I Googled it, okay? Peace is freedom from disturbance. I like that. Freedom from disturbance. I've lived on the island now for 2.5 years. I have made a number of discoveries. Number one, there is no winter here. I'm from Alberta. I know winter. But two, I know some things now about water. Let me tell you a little bit about water. I know that if you go to the water on the west coast of the island, them's big waves. They are so big that people surf on them. The definition of peace, remember? Freedom from disturbance. Lots of disturbance on the west side of the island, okay? On the east side of the island, it can get a little choppy. In the Strait of Georgia, right? It can get a little choppy. But I don't see a lot of surfers out there, personally. Not quite the deal it is on the West Coast. Now, that's the second kind of water. The third kind of water, by my house, is a little pond. And it's in a valley. It sees very little wind. Almost all the time, it's just like a mirror. Free from disturbance. Now, my question to you tonight is this: which water best represents you in regard to peace? How much disturbance is found in your life right now? Is that cluttering up your Christmas? Is it cluttering up your ability to experience peace? This is such a powerful thing. Here's a great story regarding what God can do with peace. September 11, 2001, a day I'm sure I don't need to explain, there's a man by the name of Rob Cataldo. He was a pilot. He was co-piloting a Boeing 767 from Chicago to San Francisco. It was a usual day. They went through the usual checks until they got a message on their onboard computer that a Cessna and a Boeing 737 collided over Lower Manhattan. He thought, that seems really strange. So they checked the weather in New York, and they found out clear skies, bright sunny day. This shouldn't have happened. But they kept getting more messages on their computer. One of the messages was they had trouble with a plane from their fleet. They began to check with the conditions of other planes in their fleet, but they were shut out from those records. And he said, that's when I knew, and I'm quoting, that's when I knew that something was terribly wrong. They got another message that said every aircraft that is on this frequency will land at the nearest suitable airport as soon as possible. They were told to secure their cockpit and not let anyone in under any circumstances. They were an hour out of Denver at that point. So for the next 60 minutes, they had no idea what was going on. All they knew is something was terribly, terribly wrong. Now, you got a pilot and a co-pilot, both of them experiencing the same thing. According to the pilot, he described his condition like this: my stomach is in knots. No one could blame him, right? However, the co-pilot, Rob, knew Jesus. And he felt like God was saying to him, I have never let you down before, and you can trust me that I never will. And he said, I was amazingly calm through that whole hour. This makes sense, by the way, for followers of Jesus, because this is what Jesus said. I'm leaving you with a gift. Good timing to talk about gifts on Christmas Eve, right? I'm leaving you with a gift. What is the gift that Jesus gives? Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. The world can't give this. This is an exclusive offer from Jesus. So don't be troubled or afraid. An exclusive offer. Jesus offers peace. Christmas brings peace. Finally, we go to love. And for many, love is a feeling. It's fleeting. It goes up and down. Your love for things can go all over the place. We often define love as the thing that gives me pleasure. The thing that gives me pleasure. Let me give you some examples. I love this ice cream cone until it's gone. Then I don't love it anymore. I love my car until it leaves me stranded on the parkway. Then I don't love my car anymore. I love Star Wars. Until. Then I don't. I would never say that. But just want to be clear here. But for some, that's the end. I love my spouse until. The moment we stop getting pleasure is the moment we stop loving. But that is never how God defines love. This is what Jesus had to say. This is my commandment, Jesus said. Love each other. How? In the same way I have loved you. And then he makes it real pointed. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. He didn't just describe love, he lived it. He said, don't follow just what I'm telling you, follow my life. I'm showing you what love is. Christmas brings love. Pastor Tim Keller defined love this way. He said, let's go back. There we go. Love is the commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost. Think about that for a moment. He's defining love. Is the commitment? Know this. How much is he talking about feelings in there? None. Love is the commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost. And Jesus showed how high the cost of love can be. He made it clear Love is costly. It's beyond romance. It's beyond pleasure. It's permanent. It's more glorious. It's more costly than we often define it. And without Christmas, there would be no cross, no demonstration of great, great love. Christmas brings love. Now, I left hope to the end. Even though we start with it in Advent, I left it to the end for a very important reason. Because without hope, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no love. Now, before you get up and walk out and you say the pastor's lost it, hold on, just give me a few minutes. This could be the most important few minutes of your life. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And many feel this prior to Christmas. Many have been feeling that all throughout the day. This is the big day. We feel it as we put up the decorations, as we shop and we bake, and it's wonderful to have hope coming into Christmas. But the hope that Christmas brings is not about an event. I want to go to the prophet Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus, he spoke about the Messiah, the Anointed One, and he had these powerful words to say in prediction of Jesus. He said, "Look at my servant, whom I have chosen. He is my beloved, who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not be a bully. He will not throw his weight around. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle." In other words, he's going to take great care with the most vulnerable. "Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious." There will be a great turnaround where justice will reign. And then he ends this passage with these words that are just so perfect for what we're talking about. He said, "And his name will be the hope." In his name will be the hope of all the world. Notice what that says. He will not be a hope of the world. He will be the hope, exclusive. And it's not just for a local group. This isn't just hope for Vancouver Island. This is hope not even for Canada. This is a hope for all the world will be found in this one person. He will be the hope. We often define hope in more in terms of chance, like I hope to win the lottery. I hope to get that job. In that, hope is more about wishing. But Christmas hope is not about chance or wishing. It's about something certain to look forward to. See, in religion is about spinning the eternal lottery wheel. Some picture on this wheel, you get at the end of your life, you get to spin it, and if it goes to the right slot, you get in. Get into heaven. Yay. You just don't know. That's religion. And you spend your time trying to impress God to get as many slots on that wheel as possible. Religion is a system of behavior created to prove our worth to God. And Jesus came to free us from that. And I'm so glad. Because I have found I am terrible at proving my worth to God. Terrible. I fail so often. Jesus came to give us real hope. Not to just spin the wheel as though there's some kind of chance involved. God made a giant leap toward us at Christmas. He let us know that he was interested in a relationship with us. Remember that hit song? Let's go back to it. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to everyone. It's the way it's often heard. That's not what those angels said. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Well, that would mean that there are people that God is not pleased with. Why would God not be pleased with them? As you read the rest of Scripture, you'll find out God's not pleased with them because they're trusting in their own goodness. When we trust in our own goodness, when we consider ourselves good people and we've impressed God, we've lived good lives, God should be impressed. There's no need for Christmas then. There's no need for a Savior. There's no need for this baby born in a barn to eventually grow up and go to a cross. There's no need for peace that comes from God's forgiveness. There's no need for joy and gratitude for what God has done for us. There's no need for a demonstration of love towards us. Many people on the inside wear a t-shirt. That t-shirt says, good person. I'm a good person. And we spend a lot of our lives trying to live up to good person. And according to the Bible, we all fail. Jesus said there is only one good. That's God Himself. Jesus came to give us real hope. Not in spinning the wheel and hoping that we can impress God. That's just religion. Jesus doesn't want us to be part of that. Real hope. Hope is anticipating things we're convinced are not separated us from us by effort or chance, but only by time. That's real hope. Let me read that again. Just let that soak in for 1 second. Hope is anticipating things we're convinced are not separated from us by effort or chance, but only by time. Jesus offers salvation to anyone. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what family background, no matter what your past is, you can have hope in Christ. Let me ask this very important question. Where is your hope? Where is your hope? Some people have that t-shirt on the inside, and ultimately their hope is in themselves. Their hope is in their goodness, their example, the things they choose to do and not to do. And they hope that God will be impressed. And when I get to the end of my life, God's going to say, yep, I think you're good enough, you can get in. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever give an indication that that is the case. But when our hope is in Jesus, when our hope is in Jesus, we have real hope because He saves us. Anything, when we hope in anything other than Jesus, we clutter our Christmas. We clutter our Christmas with our own effort, with unforgiveness, with the things of this world. Christmas is cluttered when hope is misplaced. And millions around the world tonight are experiencing real joy, peace, love, and hope because they have put their trust, their hope, in Jesus alone. When you put your hope in Jesus, you can expect joy in acquiring a relationship with God. You can expect peace in knowing you are forgiven and accepted by God, with whom He is pleased. You can experience love so powerful it makes you want to sacrifice for others. And the proof that you have put your hope in Jesus, you know what the proof is? One of the proofs that you put your hope in Jesus is that the love, peace, joy, and hope of Christmas will not be confined to a date on the calendar. You will experience it all year long. That's the beauty of putting your hope in Jesus. And it's available to all of you. I invite you, if you have never put your hope in Jesus, tonight's the night. What a great thing for you to do. Declutter your Christmas by putting your hope in Jesus. Are you tired of the clutter? Are you tired of the clutter? The more hope you put in Jesus, the more peace you experience. The more hope you put in Jesus, the more love you experience. The more hope you put in Jesus, the more joy you experience. And many people in this room can attest to that very thing. Hope, properly placed hope, declutters Christmas. Properly placed hope in Jesus declutters Christmas. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward at this time. And if you don't have a candle, by the way, and you'd like a candle, just put your hand up real fast. They'll take care of that. We're not rushed for time here. Now, while they're doing that, I have some instructions for the candles, okay? This is really simple, okay? The lit candle stays upright. The unlit candle goes sideways. Which candle stays upright? Lit. See? You guys got it. Good. Jesus said, He is the light of the world. I have come into the world, Jesus said, as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. As you take that light, spread it to the person next to you. Let this whole room be filled with the light of Christ tonight as we bring in Christmas together. Lord, we thank you for this time tonight where we can reflect on this amazing event where you took human form and came and lived among us. And because you, Lord Jesus, grew up to become our Savior, our Rescuer, we can have tremendous hope. Lord, I pray for those in this room who don't know you, who came here maybe very skeptical. I ask, Lord, that you would help them to put some hope in you tonight. Just move them a little closer to you. Grant them even the idea that there's a possibility that there is something beyond the here and now, something beyond material things. Lord, for those in this room who know you but have still got their Christmas all cluttered up with all kinds of things, Lord, may their hope be entirely in you tonight. May they release all those things so that their Christmas could be decluttered, that they could experience hope and joy and peace and love in the way that you would have them experience it. And Lord, for those in this room who have put their trust in you and continue to live with their trust in you, whose Christmas is rich and full and alive, I praise you for that, God. It's what you came to do, Jesus. You are the light of the world. For many of us in this room, you are our light. And we worship you. Thank you for Christmas. Amen. You may now blow out your candles. Thank you for coming, everyone. I hope you have a tremendous Christmas. God bless.